Yes, good morning, everyone. It is Wednesday, May 18. This is the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio. I hope you're having a fantastic morning. Looks like the weather's finally turning it on for a consistent period of time, at least here in Sydney Town, after all the rain we've had. Now, overnight, or just this morning in the Premier League, Liverpool have beaten Southampton 2-1. So we're down to the final day of the season. The early hours Monday morning, they're 1 point behind Manchester City in the race for the title. The other big game this morning over in England was in the Championship, where Nottingham Forest and Sheffield United are fighting for a place in the playoff final against Huddersfield, and that had gone to extra time. And as it stands, of course I can't find it just when I need it, but I'll come back to you with that score. And last night in the A-League, we saw Melbourne Victory beat Western United 1-0. 1-0 in the A-League last night, though that is the first leg of their semi-final as well. And we've got Adelaide up against Melbourne City in the next one. Now, joining us in the studio in his beautiful sky blue quarter zip jumper.
It's a lovely, lovely colour.
That soccer report was nice and crisp, Middow.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Really, I lost the score that I was looking for, Bulldog, but I think you lost. What does it say here?
Oh, Laurie, you're a team player, aren't you?
Oh, it's still 3-3 on aggregate. We're in extra time. Thank you, Loss. What would I do without you?
I'm here to
serve. I
would
have found it for you, but I'm just checking Instagram. So sorry, just not really with you.
You're a team man, aren't you, Clarky?
Yeah, I'm just checking the DMs.
No, I am team.
Find out what's going on in round town, Bulldog.
How are you, Bulldog?
I'm good. Good. Busy week. Busy day yesterday. Lots of stories. Bulldogs. Brent Naden. I've done a piece on Angus Crichton in today's paper. Victor
Radley.
Go the Tigers.
Poach a few.
Lots of news. Middow, let's rip into it, eh?
Let's start with the Doggies, mate. Did you see this coming? Whose decision was it? How did it unfold over the weekend?
I didn't see it coming, Laurie, in terms of leaks out of the Bulldogs camp. However, I think we all thought it was a possibility when you win 4 from 35 games. I mean, there's no denying that at some point it was going to blow, and it blew up after the Newcastle game of the weekend. Look, only Trent Barrett and Phil Gould really know whether Baz resigned or whether he was told to resign. Otherwise, he would have been axed. So I guess they'll take that to their graves, those two. But look, Trent got out with a fair bit, I guess, of dignity in terms of standing down first. It's a sad demise. Baz, I think, is a good coach. It didn't work out at Manly. It didn't work out at Canterbury. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. In hindsight, maybe he could have stayed at Penrith. His stocks were rising out there. He took the punt and it didn't work out. It's very sad.
What does a new coach think now in regards to going to the Bulldogs, or even a player in regards to going to the Bulldogs, around if the person that's in charge, Gus, comes out a week earlier and says, Trent Barrett's going to be coaching well after I leave the Bulldogs? 5 days on, he's gone. So who's in charge at the Bulldogs? What security do you have in and around a contract as a player, coach, support staff member?
Well, the board and the chairman are in charge, Clarkie, technically. You know, Gus's shadow casts a long way at Belmore. And I think, you know, we all know deep down that, you know, whatever Gus wants, he probably gets. Having said that, John Currie is the chairman, and John, as chairman, would have to make the final decision. But I know he has a lot of respect for Gus. In terms of coaches going there, Clarkie, I know there is some internal fears about how many coaches would really want to go to Canterbury under these circumstances, with Gus being such an influential and controlling figure. The debate at the moment is, do they go with a young, innovative coach like a Cameron Ciraldo, or is the time not right for that? And now is the time for a hardened coach like a Shane Flanagan. So that's the debate Canterbury's having at management level right now. Either way, though, they're going to have to learn to work with Gus. And whether that would be a turn-off for some coaches, I guess we'll find out when we know the final list of candidates.
What about a guy like Freddie Fittler? I mean, he's got a strong relationship with Gus. We all know that. And I think yesterday, when he was asked the question, it was what he didn't say.
He didn't rule it out.
He didn't rule it out. I think Freddie would take the job if asked after hearing him speak yesterday. which I never thought
what?
He wanted to do it. But I think he may have a burning desire to get back into the NRL.
So does he do this year's Origin and walk away after that? Get an intern now to get you through the season. Freddie does this year's Origin and then walk away.
When they asked him about would he love to coach, he just said, I've got a job to coach the Blues in the next couple of weeks. That's where my focus is. He didn't deny it. So I'm thinking that he might be a chance of coaching there. What do you think?
It was a surprise answer, Laurie. I thought Freddie would have just knocked it on the head. He's got a very, I wouldn't say cushy job, but he's got Origin, which is, it's glamorous, Laurie. Yeah, you know
Channel 9.
That. It's Channel 9. He's on big money and good luck to him. He deserves every penny. I would have thought Freddie's lifestyle and Freddie's personality would suit the lifestyle he's leading right now, as opposed to the 52-week, 7-day-a-week,
18 hours a day
job.
It's non-stop.
And you know, there's a lot of attention to detail there and whether that would suit Freddie's character. But I spoke to a few people inside the Bulldogs over the last 24 hours and they think that if anyone can persuade Freddie to coach at the Bulldogs, it would be Gus.
Right.
And Gus also wants someone there that he can, I'm not going to say control, it's over the top, but he can work with and know the outcomes.
Mm. But Gus advised Trent Barrett not to go there. Gus made that public. He said, I'm telling Trent Barrett he should not leave Penrith and go to the Bulldogs. So how can he now go to, he'd been there for 5 minutes. How can he go there to Brad Fittler, go to Brad Fittler and say, you should come to the Bulldogs?
Different board.
What's changed?
Different board for a start. So
that's obviously worked extremely well. Just flicked their coach.
Yeah.
But so it might be different names on the board, some of them, but tell me what's different in and around the workings at the Bulldogs.
Well, I'll tell you what changed is the board's changed. Gus is now in charge and Gus is the decision maker.
Is there anything different to what happened to Dean Pay as just happened to Trent Barrett?
Other than being sacked.
Which we're assuming, well, we're going on Trent's word saying that he stood down.
He stood down, whatever you like to call it.
Yeah.
Well, I think they've got someone there with great football knowledge in
Gus
Gould
yep.
that is now in charge of roster management, salary cap, and is putting his nous into what he believes was a toxic culture, in his words, a shocking list management decisions that they've made. They were just making wrong decisions. He's taken it upon himself now to be in charge and to get a new coach in, to work with his coach, to build a roster to get it where it needs to be. So he's taking accountability for that.
With Canterbury's resources and money, Laurie, Freddie could do the job as a front man as well. If he surrounds himself with the right people and he gets the right assistant coaches in, and he would bring in his own coaches, no doubt. Yeah, he can do the job. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I just wanted to know how seriously he was thinking about it. And when I heard his comments and read his comments yesterday, I went, because I didn't think he would want to do it.
Mm.
I just thought, you know, with the Origin, Channel 9, not a cruisy lifestyle, but compared to what he's about to walk into if he wanted to, it'd be completely different for him.
Freddie has done it before, don't forget, the Roosters. So it wouldn't be totally foreign to him. But at his time of his life, I think Freddie's in his early 50s. It's a big lifestyle.
It's a big commitment.
Change at that age to go in and coaches these days aren't like the old days, Loz. You know that better than anyone. You know, they work 18 hours a day. They're in there at 6 a.m. and they're out at 9 o'clock at night.
Well, you always got to have your phone on. You always got to have your phone on because something might happen in the middle of the night. Something might happen early in the early mornings. You just got to be on top of it all the time. Who do you think? Who do you think will be selected and who would you like to see selected?
I think...
And without sort of getting names in terms of like, do you think it needs to be an experienced coach? Do you think it needs to be a young coach? Do you think it needs to be someone like Freddie who's got a high profile and had success at Origin?
They tried Dean Pay, Loz, as an inexperienced coach. And I guess you could argue that that didn't quite work out. So whether that's a bit of a black mark next to that theory.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see Cameron Sorello do it. That's my theory.
Devil's
a young
advocate
coach.
Here. Coming from the same system as Baz.
Yep.
Highly touted assistant coach.
Correct.
Do you go for another assistant coach?
Well, assistant coaches have to get a start at some point. You've got to give them a crack at at some point in your life. But is it the right time? Is it the right roster? And are the expectations at Canterbury, given they've got a volatile supporter base, is it the right time to be throwing a young bloke in there? And will they tear him apart if he's none from four or five next year?
Yeah.
Just on Trent Barrett too, on the text line here, gents, can you ask Bulldog, has Barrett completely destroyed his coaching career because he quit publicly saying he can't do anything more for them? No club will take him on because he quit. He will become a liability for any club moving forward. No name to that one. But after what's happened at Manly and Canterbury, it'd be difficult for him to get a head coaching job, you'd think, going forward.
Yeah, I can't see it in the short term. The only way I could see it is, you know, if Trent decides to go to Super League and he could, might jag a Challenge Cup over there or a Premiership, just get away.
Mm.
Get away from the limelight for a while. Rebuild over there. He may not want to go to the north of England. He lives on the south coast in some nice place, and I don't know why he'd want to go to Hull, but that's one way of doing it. Or he goes back to being an assistant, rebuilds again there, and perhaps down the track. I mean, right now we're all saying he won't get a job, but we all forget things very quickly in this world. And in a year or two's time, if Trent is back coaching as an assistant, he might. But look, at this very point, I would find it very difficult, and I'm sure even Trent would say the same thing, that it didn't work well at Manly, it didn't end well at Canterbury, that a full-time job would seem a million miles away right now.
Do you think a hard-nosed coach like Flanagan or a Green would be the best option for the Bulldogs, given that they're premiership-winning coach? Or do you see those personalities maybe clashing with a bloke like Gus?
Potentially. If you get a hard-nosed coach in there, Laurie, who's got a hard-line stance on a lot of issues, and Flano's like that, and so is Paul Green, they're both, I wouldn't say pig-headed, but they've both got strong, controlling personalities, and that's what makes them so successful. But whether that would clash with Gus would be the $64,000 question. I still personally think, as I said before, I would still give it to a young bloke. I think the time at Canterbury is for something totally fresh, innovative. Let's have a clean start out there. Give him 10 months to rework his roster. Put David Ferner or Mick Potter in charge today. Let them see out the season. Replicate the Cronulla formula where Craig Fitzgibbon reworked his roster. And by the time he starts next year, later this year in December, he can start fresh.
There's always someone that wants the job, all right? There's always someone that will take the job, always someone that wants the job. But given the volatility of the Bulldogs, and in particular the way that their board or their constitution is, where the board gets elected every 2 years, and I'm led to believe it'll be early 2024 when the next elections are on. If you're a coach that goes there next year, 2023, and you have a similar start to what Trent Barrett's had in 12 months, what do they do?
Oh, you'd be nervous.
But even though you've signed for 2-3 years...
But you can't blame the board for that, for wanting to hold
no, no,
them
no,
to
but
account.
I'm just saying, so this might hold back. This might hold back the best candidate.
It could. As may working with Gus. There might be candidates out there think, you know what, that club's just red hot at the moment. I don't want to go near it, and I'll wait my turn for another club to come up. But I can't blame the board, Laurie, for holding Trent accountable.
Oh, no, I'm not blaming the board, but what I'm saying is if you've got someone out there that is the best possible candidate, he'd be sitting there thinking and weighing it all up, going, ooh, this is the scenario I'm walking into, and this could potentially play out like this.
Well, it could destroy your career. You go to Canterbury, lose your job like Trent Barrett. He may not get another
And it may enhance your career too. Correct. You might have success there and you might kick and they have a great year and all of a sudden you're the pin-up boy. But things can go pear-shaped pretty quickly as it stands with the way that their constitution is. The period they're going through at the moment.
I wonder what Viliami, Kikau and Reid Marnie are thinking right now. They have come out through their managers saying that they will honour the deal and that's acceptable, so they should. And there's probably no money left at their existing clubs anyway because both clubs have moved on. But they would have signed there with Trent in charge under this new horizon of the Barrett-Gould partnership, thinking that there's some solidity there, they're moving in the right direction, then suddenly, bang, it gets cut off. So there must be now a couple of thoughts thinking, gee, I hope I've made the right decision here. There's no doubt that they'd be a little bit anxious about what's unfolding because they signed to go to a club which they thought was stable and suddenly, almost overnight, it's become very unstable.
Well, we saw one player already depart, didn't we, in Correct. Brent Naden. Why? 8 games he played for the club.
Yeah. You know, I did a bit of checking. There's a story in today's paper I've written about this. I spoke to his manager last night. He approached Gus on Monday morning, saying to Gus, look, I really want to play in the centres. And Gus has a lot of admiration for Brent Naden as a player, but he did say that we've got a lot of young kids coming through and there's probably not going to be an automatic start. Alan Ganey, who is his manager, very smart manager, Al Ganey, thought, well, if he doesn't want to play, or if he can't play centre there, I might take him somewhere where they do need a centre. And the West Tigers have lost a couple of centres through injury. Young Luke Garner was playing out there. He's a back rower, Loz. So Alan Ganey just thought, look, I'll just throw it out there, see what comes of it. Within 12 hours, they'd agreed. Naden had taken his family down to meet Michael Maguire. Both clubs had agreed on the finances. The Bulldogs are going to tip in some money this year and next year for Naden. And Alan Ganey, to his credit, lodged the new deal with the NRL at 4:05 yesterday afternoon, 5 minutes before the official team sheet has to come out. So it gave the West Tigers about 4 minutes to quickly readjust and put Brent Naden on that team sheet to play against the Bulldogs this Friday night at Leichhardt. Extraordinary stuff.
I hate it so much. What about the little boy or the little girl that goes and buys the Bulldogs jersey with Naden's number on the back? Like, I just think it's so bad for the game. I hate that quick movement through the season, you know. And again, we're not talking about Laurie Daly, Andrew Johns, Jonathan Thurston. I know that, but still, like, I find it so hard to, you know, for fans to stay loyal to their club when things like this can happen. And not only has he left in 5 minutes, he's now going to play against them. The Tigers are going to play against the Bulldogs. I don't think this is good for the game at all.
To Gus's credit, Alan Ganey said to Gus yesterday, if you release him right now, at this very hour, he will play against you on Friday night.
And Gus said, go for it.
And Gus did say, go. Gus did say, look, I'm not going to stand this way.
Well, Gus obviously thinks he's a great player then.
Yeah, well, he'd be looking after him too. He'd be saying, well, mate, you know, we will allow you to go and we're not going to hold you back and stop you from playing against us.
We don't want you to miss 1 week just so you can at least move house. Would you get straight in there?
But I think Gus's big motivation here is to try and release a few players. And this won't be the first. At last. He won't be the last.
He won't be the last.
Because I think he knows that this roster needs rejigging. And if he can go to the players and it's a mutual agreement where they're looking for a better opportunity and they can get... it's best for both parties, I think.
Clarkie, I'm with you. I'm surprised Gus didn't say, yes, you can go, but I'll give it to you after
week.
4 o'clock.
Yeah, wait 1 week. Yeah.
1 hour,
yeah.
The team comes out, he can't go in then.
Yeah.
So if Naden... plays in the weekend.
Scores 2 tries, wins the Tigers the game. How good?
100%.
Great buy from the Tigers.
He will start too. Mark my words, he will start. He will play at centre. And if he is the match winner, it just puts another layer of sweat
I'm not having a crack at Naden, Belmore. Tigers or Bulldogs. I'm just saying this. The system right now.
A lot of people would agree with you. It's not right to see players change so quickly. And we have this discussion about players signing 12 months in advance.
Yeah.
How we don't like it.
Just a couple of Roosters before you go. Angus Crichton and Victor Radley. What's going on with those two?
Angus Crichton, no official offer been made yet, but I checked in with some good sources at the Tigers, and there's a lot of interest there. He signed a 2-year deal with the Roosters. Sorry, he agreed to a 2-year deal. He hasn't signed the contract. It hasn't been registered. So he's off contract technically at the end of this year. Michael Maguire's got a very good relationship with Angus Crichton. He brought him back from rugby. He brought him to South. He gave him his NRL debut. So there's a strong bond there. So I'm not sure whether the deal will happen, but there's certainly going to be interest there. And Victor Radley, syndesmosis, worse than first thought. And went in yesterday. The Roosters thought it might be 2 weeks. It's ended up being 6 to 8. So poor old Victor, that curse around Origin. He's been so close for so long now.
I'd love to see him.
So would I. Injury or suspensions robbed him a few years in a row now, Loz, and looks if If it's 6 weeks, it's game one. But if it is eight, well, that would almost slip over into game two as well.
Bulldogs beat the Tigers on the weekend. Does Madge survive?
You know what? I've tipped the Bulldogs, Clarkie. I just have that old-fashioned bounce-back effect every time a new coach seems to come in.
Yeah, I wonder what the stats are.
They're not good.
They're not.
Because I've checked this before.
Yeah, right.
And it's a bit of a myth.
Yeah, it is.
It's a bit of a myth, but I just think the bounce back will be good this week. They're not playing an overly strong side, with all due respects to the Tigers. So I've tipped the Doggies to come out and fire up under their new interim coach.
What does that mean then for Madge? Does that change anything? I listened to Benji last night, and he was adamant that this is the most important game for the West Tigers this season. And he's around
an ambassador. He's inside the club to some degree.
So if he's saying that,
there's a few at Belmore that are keeping an eye on the Madge situation. Gus has got a huge rap on Madge. It would be unusual to chase a bloke who's under pressure himself, i.e. the coach. Having said that, he does have a big opinion of Michael Maguire.
But most coaches have been under pressure.
Of course.
Only the Bellamy's, Bennett's, Trent Robinson. There wouldn't be too many other coaches that are coaching at the moment or that are looking for jobs that haven't been under pressure at some point in time. I'll quickly want to ask you about young Selwyn Cobber.
Yep.
Starting to gain a strong reputation.
Absolutely. Eight clubs now, Laurie. Eight clubs have got their eye on him. Manly the latest. Interestingly, the Broncos are very confident they can nail him down to the end of 2025. I'd think he'd play Origin this year, whether you'd agree, Laurie.
Oh, I think
he'd be very close.
He'd be very close, mate.
Yeah, he's on about 180, but this next contract, Laurie, he could increase his worth to about $600,000. So his star is rising big time in rugby league, and we saw why against Manly on the weekend. So certainly he's a star on the horizon. His new deal will reflect that, and the race is on for Selwyn Cobbo.
I feared, maybe not this year, but Queensland, they're going to be back terrorising us. They've got some significant weapons.
Maybe that's why Freddie wants to leave.
Yeah. He's
get in at the right time. Get out at the right time.
What are you looking at me?
I think I was looking in a mirror. I wasn't looking at you. I was looking in a mirror.
Bulldog, another immense performance by you. Thank you so much.
My teammates have lifted me. You've carried me on your shoulders.